Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Merkle Media.
He put it in park, threw open the driver's door, ran out the side of the car, across the front of it, and jumped right off the side of the bridge in front of me.
The only people that really pulled over were truckers.
He said, "We're going to Hodge," and he didn't slow down. He went across the median onto the oncoming traffic, but where they could see him coming, they just got out of the way.
I noticed his plane was really low. It went right in front of us, hit the fence, and it spun around. You know, 30 seconds more, he could have hit us.
I went around that truck and a guy stepped out from behind the truck and threw a piece of wood and it shot through my window just like a spear and stuck in the back of the cab of my truck.
That's probably one of the stranger things I've seen.
Welcome to Hammer Lane Legends. I am Brian Merkle.
I'm Brian Shipper.
I'm Mike Dre.
And today you are listening to Hammer Lane Legends right here on your podcast, on YouTube. Wonderful. Look at all these smiling faces sitting around us. And as you can see, today we have an in-studio guest. His name is Ed. He'll introduce himself in a few minutes. If you have a crazy and wild story that you would like to share with us from the road, please go ahead and contact us at hllpodcast@protonmail.com. That's hllpodcast@protonmail.com. If you look over at Shipper, he's rubbing his eyes because he's got a little bit of a cold going on today. Or you can go to the HammerLaneLegends.com webpage. Get a hold of us that way. Either way, it works for us. Just get a hold of us. We want to have a conversation with you. We want to know something about your life. We want to have an interview with you. We want to talk to you about what you've done in the driving world, what's excited you about the driving world, or what has disappointed you about the driving world.
Wow, which, caffeinated up, are you?
Yeah, 4 cups so far.
4 cups and 6 hours of sleep.
Wow, yeah,
I'm not a professional podcaster, but I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night.
Hey, you're talking a mile a minute. I'm not sure if you're even breathing.
Shipper, tell him about that. Buy me a coffee.
Oh, you got a break for that.
I'm going to break. I need a breather. Show's over.
Keep us fueled. Keep us caffeinated at buymeacoffee.com/hammerlane. It's a virtual tip jar. If you like what we're doing for the show, feel free to look at the website there and contribute your little salutations and monetary donations. Otherwise,
nicely said, salutations and monetary donations.
Look at that. These two got a night's full night's rest.
That's what happens
that whole week.
when you actually get a
chance
to sleep.
But then I got screwed because family came over for Thanksgiving. And I got this.
What a way to make friends and influence people. So anyway, Mike, how was your, well, we're going to timestamp this because Shipper just did. How was your Thanksgiving?
Oh, it was great. Just me and the wife stayed at home. Nice. Had our little turkey.
I would love for two people.
And just chilled out all day. Never even left the house.
Not bad.
That's awesome.
That's beautiful.
I didn't leave the house till Wednesday, till I ran it up here.
I didn't leave the house till the family showed up.
Gotta go.
We're cold. We got a special run today.
You need anything at the store? I'll go. I'll get it.
Shipper, how was your Thanksgiving?
Yeah, fan-damn-tastic.
That's awesome. That is awesome. It was just Michelle and myself and Alex and Tanya and Faye, their daughter. She's like 7 months old, so she was no problem. She was a lot of fun, you know, lots of giggles and smiles. So we had a good time.
Oh, my, nice all day. The 20 animals came over at 2:30 and just watched the feeding frenzy started, like sharks in the water. Yeah.
I'm going to put my headphones on just for a few minutes just so I can make sure we're all coming through
nice
and clear. Well, the audience does if they can't hear us, so it'll be good to, you know,
make this sure. Show's for them. Hearing impaired.
There you go. We've got a Hammer Lane Legends by Braille.
Right.
Right. You know, that's how it works.
Just feel the bottom of the screen. You'll be able to hear it. So follow along.
So as you see, today we are talking to a guest in studio, a fellow driver from Pitt, Ohio. This is Ed. Ed, say hello to everybody out there.
Hello, everybody.
It's nice to see you. Thanks for coming out on a holiday weekend.
Right. Well, it's no a downside problem. Now. He's done.
You know, yeah. It's
holiday's over.
Holiday's over, so.
That's it.
You're such a, you know, Shipper's a hilarious guy. You know what I'm saying? You
know, that's a word just, for it.
Yeah.
is that a word you'd use?
It's not really the appropriate word for it, but it's a word. So we'll take that. We'll
try to keep it family.
His salutations and financial donations or monetary donations. We'll just continue because that was one good sentence that he had.
I'm just trying to figure out if I get extra tax return deductions this year.
He's doing his taxes now on the air.
Yep. He's always busy on the air, you know. It's always a good thing. So, Ed, your holiday. How was your holiday?
My holiday was good.
That's fantastic.
Very good.
Did you have family over? Did you see anybody? Or was it
We went to my wife's aunt's house, and there was only seven of us there.
Wow.
Seven is good.
That is a good number.
They fit at one table. Holy crap. Yeah. One table. Would and I they die were
all
that?
Adults, or at least semi-adults.
That's the first year that happens. Every other year, there's about 40 people in there.
Oh, my God.
Wow. That's just too many. Man. It's
been like 20 years since I've gone to a big Thanksgiving. Family kind of went their own separate ways. Everybody was like... Now it's just my wife and I, and that is
you know, rub it in.
I got everybody coming through. All right. I was talking to my sister this morning. We'll segue back to that in a minute. This is just an aside.
This is what happens.
I said to my sister, we're chit-chatting, this is where she calls. She's like, she texts me, hey, can I call you? Wait. So I just called her.
You call me
apparently
anything.
You want to call me, so we'll talk. So I just said to her, I love everybody, but it's easier to love them all at a distance. You know, you know what I mean? Like, hey, I love my family, but I've got, you know, I've got four sisters and a brother, and everybody's got kids, and then everybody's got grandkids. So I was like, yeah, I love yous all there. So happy Thanksgiving.
Here's a picture of me. Pretend I'm there.
Listen to the show. Right. Look at it on YouTube. You can see me every week.
Right.
Sort of. I mean, back is
way to bump up the listenership. Since you don't listen, let somebody else in your family listen.
We got to listen.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
Listen, watch, whatever.
Never share the show with everyone else. I don't listen.
Right. I know, right? I sent a message to that guy yesterday. I figured I'd wait till Friday after the holiday.
Oh, the one I gave you. Okay.
So when I hear from him, you know.
Okay, cool.
But back to Ed. So. You had a nice Thanksgiving.
Wonderful Thanksgiving.
Limited amount of people.
Limited amount of people.
Unlimited turkey.
Oh, plenty of
turkey. I love turkey. I actually saw somebody doing a video yesterday about how he doesn't like turkey and it's disgusting and it's gross. I'm like, dude, that's like the best meal of the year.
Yes,
and he's
is.
Sitting there complaining about turkey. I'm like, what's wrong
with
turkey?
A lot of times, though, it's dry and it's just...
What's the gravy is for?
Well, yeah, true.
It makes it moist again,
We did the cheap way out this year. We went to Costco. And nice. Costco had the whole Thanksgiving... dinner there.
Rotisserie chicken sitting there.
No, it was a turkey breast on top of stuffing, mashed potatoes, what was the vegetable? Green beans, and then gravy. Okay, $40. And we still got some left over. We had Thanksgiving yesterday dinner, and we still have more. So $40 for two. That was the first turkey that wasn't dry.
Believe me, I opted for the Wawa turkey bowl. Hand them out at the driveway. Keep your ass moving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
They do catering. Just order a couple hundred of those. There you go. Everyone gets a sandwich. Now get
Halloween
out.
Halloween was a month ago.
It's on the
first. We had zero kids at our place. And there's two that live on each side of us, but we had zero.
Nobody came to visit. Nobody for came Halloween. To visit. Nobody went knock, 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 trick or treat.
Nope.
Mr. Shipper?
My wife was in charge of that.
I don't have sidewalks in my house, so nobody comes to see me.
I know
me.
We don't get any kids either. Been here 25 years, never seen a soul.
Yep, we don't either. We never did.
First year, we had like a bag of candy to eat after Halloween. That's awesome. You know, it's but you know, nothing wrong with that.
So. And then after that, no more. We don't have to buy candy.
Don't even bother with it.
The whole neighborhood that has sidewalks or that are all. I live on a busy street. No kids want to walk down.
Yeah, and we had trick or treating here two nights in a row. And I'm like, they did it. I was going to work whatever night was it. The 31st was like Wednesday. They or 20 it was Wednesday and Thursday they did trick or treating. in Shoemakersville, right up the road. I drove to work. I'm on my way in. And I drove up to town. I forgot it was Halloween because we don't ever get Halloween trick-or-treaters.
Metropolis, so it, that is Shoemaker.
Right. So I guess. All the people are out trick-or-treating, right? Too. So I'm like, okay, trick-or-treat's over. Out
2 hours at a time. So they stretch it out for
the
four.
The next day, I'm driving to work. I get up to Shoemakersville. Everybody's out trick-or-treating. What is this, like, am I like Groundhog Day? What happened? You know, why am I still seeing trick-or-treaters? Are these the laggers? These are the lazy kids from yesterday that didn't get out?
No, they're the ones just coming, finding their way home. It was the
it
old
was a real
adults.
Party.
Yeah, it was the adults.
It was all the drunk mom and dads. Yep. Back to Ed. Ed, how did you get into trucking? What was the catalyst that drove you to this beautiful, wonderful, fun job?
Well, I'm one of the few guys who can say I was actually I was almost born in a truck.
Nice.
I grew up in one. I from the time I was 3 years old, I was riding with my dad constantly.
That's really cool.
And you know, him and I, you know, we were on the road all the time.
Did he own his own truck or did he work for a company?
He, from the time I turned nine, he had his own truck, and you know, he worked for V&J Durstein back in the day. That doesn't mean anything to you, but
yeah, I don't ever heard of them.
They hauled hogs and did some freight, and he was with them, and they were the top of the line trucks on the road at the time, and back in this early 70s, you know, and because they had a 318 in them, they actually went uphill.
Oh, yeah. I wonder what that's like.
Right.
Ours fly downhills, but they don't go up on
something. Yeah, it's Dragonfly, right? Dragonfly trucking.
So, but I grew up in a truck, and I'm 19 years old working in a factory going, what am I doing here? I could be out on the road. And I told my dad, I already have my, at the time, class 2 license. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to get a job driving. And my first job was driving a trash truck.
No kidding. Wow.
Lasted for 2 months.
It's all right. It was a job.
But I drove a trash truck. Then I started delivering stuff for
the trash company.
Picking up for the trash company.
Picking up and delivering. It's a PD.
At least it's, you know, at the end of the day, it's one stop.
There you
unload.
Go.
Unload.
Yeah. But I started working for a small, it was like a Pep Boys only.
Oh, okay.
Only it was smaller than that. It was all just right. Around the Philadelphia area. Mm-hmm. And I did that for, about a year.
Right.
And then it was about 6 months before I turned 21.
Uh-huh.
Told my dad, I said, hey, I want to get my class 3 at the time.
Right.
And
well, he's been driving for a long time, hasn't he?
I always had ACDL, yes. Not a class, anything.
Yeah,
class.
That's us. I got grandfathered in at the age of 21.
Wow, yeah.
Grandfathered in at 21.
As long as you had it, you're welcome to the grandfather.
That's what it was. And anyway, I told him I wanted to start driving, you know, tractor trailer, and he went and bought a truck. He bought a truck for me.
Wow. Jeez. That's a heck of an investment for a dad to make. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
He went and bought a truck, great. And I went to work for him. He taught me. He got me my class 3. We went, you know, I rode with him for 6 months.
Right.
When I turned 21, he handed me the keys to the truck.
Wow.
Said, here you go. You want to see a grown man cry, wreck that truck. That's exactly what he said.
That's freaking awesome.
So what were you hauling when you first started?
Started with dump trailers. We were hauling hazardous materials. We were hauling contaminated dirt. We were hauling sludge, a lot of sludge in the like trash landfills.
Wow.
And I actually worked, we were leased to the same company that Randy drives for.
Oh, no.
Drove for.
Oh, okay. I was going to say it was either that or Horworth.
Was that Indian Valley?
Yeah.
No, not Indian Valley. It was Waste Conversion down in Hatfield.
Oh, okay.
And they're Republic now. Or I guess they're still Republic. Yeah. But That's how I got into it.
And pretty interesting. So you've had a long and storied career.
Oh.
Well, long anyway.
I've been around.
Yeah. You've done it all.
I've dumped trailer, tanker, reefer.
Owned your own?
Owned my own.
Sold your own?
Sold my own. I got married and sold my own.
Got married. Yeah.
It's like
yeah.
a tractor trailer is the same thing as they say a boat is. The happiest day is when you get it, and the other happiest yeah. day is when you're
2 days. 2 days of happiness.
But now I went.
Say that about marriage sometimes, too.
They get married and they get divorced. Two happiest days. If my wife is listening, I don't mean that.
So it's only been one happy day so far.
It's only one happy day.
We're working towards that other one.
No.
Expensive. Can't afford to do the other one.
Oh, no, there's option C.
Which is?
Death do his part.
My wife's betting on that one.
Mm-hmm. Here's this new rock coat I got you. Let's go on that cruise.
Right.
Don't worry about that loose railing.
Yeah, we
just it's a new life jacket.
I'm gonna hear about this conversation. My wife listens to this.
It's a new cement life coat.
She's won.
Yeah, this works out.
These new shoes are made of concrete.
But they're 8-inch heels.
This show always takes a turn, doesn't it? It does. That's the beauty of it. So, what after you're working with your dad and he bought you the truck, what was the next step for you? Like, was that
then he got married?
No, because he had to get his. No, he didn't get married till 10 minutes ago. So,
now and the next step was. And I did a year and a half with him, and then I knew people, a friend's father who worked at Hatfield Quality Meats.
Okay.
So that was the next step. And I got in there, and I was running New York City for them. New York City and
God bless you, dude.
Newark, Elizabeth, West, North Bergen, all that stuff up in there.
Wow.
And did that for 3.5 years.
How upset was your dad when he bought you a truck and then a year later he says, I'm out?
He was fine.
Oh, okay.
Did he sell the truck or?
He sold
the did he other, get somebody else to drive it?
He sold the other truck and kept the one kept that the I new was one. Driving.
Nice. Smart man.
Hard to do.
Yeah. Wow. And he continued driving. I mean, how long did your dad drive? I know we're talking about you, but
he drove this for what 52 led you into years.
It. Wow. Can you imagine that? Like I'm at 31 and I'm like, I want out.
I'm at 30 that I'm a driver. You know,
I'm at 36.
God bless you, bro.
Hey, I figure what?
Yeah.
16 more years. I can match him.
There you go. How old are you?
55.
I'm looking at like 16 more years. I'm like 10. I'm out 60. If I can be out at 65, I'm jettisoning. That's it. I'm gone.
Yeah. I have just enough money until I die.
Yeah.
I'm out.
I've gotten my letters from the AARP.
How do you know when you're dying?
Well, shipper's 10-year plan. I'll go on that eventually.
Yep.
It's less than 10 now.
Get the calendar marking it off.
I got my 401k check. It's less than 10 now.
Woo.
Got to check out before this money's gone.
At least somebody's got a good, profit sharing plan going on.
Yeah.
Bottle of Jameson and a cheesesteak every day. I'm going to make this go quick.
So do you really want to stay that long? Do you want to match your dad's time? Would you like to? And I don't mean that in a snarky way. I'm literally asking you that because some guys really love this job.
You don't get no bonus prize for that.
Well, I know, but some guys really like the job. They just like driving.
Well, it's not that. It's you do what you have to do.
Yeah, 100%.
And at this point, my wife is 6 years younger than me.
And that explains a lot.
Hell yeah, I kick out. Let her support you. That's my theory.
Help her get her CDL.
Yeah.
So keep saying to my wife, she's like, I'm like, yeah, you probably couldn't get up in the truck. So,
no.
Hey, I've seen a guy in a wheelchair drive a truck. I seen that YouTube, the guy coming out of the truck with the lift coming out where the sleeper area would be.
Yeah. I've seen a YouTube video of a guy in drag driving a tractor.
You click on that, I click on these other things.
Now we know what the search history is.
Yeah, exactly. there we are.
Anyway, you
and Mikey Hawes at the pilot.
You want to make sure she's taken care of and you've done what you need to
insurance
do.
Insurance-wise.
Yeah. Yeah,
100%. You know. Well, if you quit, she can go on her plan, which is the same as yours.
She's got to go full time. Got to go full time.
Yeah,
nah,
she worked the dock.
She wants full time. Yeah.
That would be an interesting dock crew. You know what I'm saying?
So
that's fantastic.
I'm right now at this point. Yeah, you know, when you get to be this old, you just take it 1 year at a time.
Yeah, I hear that.
When he gets to be this old, he says,
"We made it."
Passed that a while ago, bud.
That's good for you.
We made it to 55. Yay!
I'm only 51.
So. You start getting that AARP mailer, you know.
I already got. Like, there you go. First one.
Sorry for your loss.
I already got my first one. I'm like, what? That's when you know you're old.
Yeah. Yeah. You. I remember when my dad was this age and he had a heart attack. I'm like, oh boy, I hope not. But you know,
my dad's dad died when he was 47 years old.
Wow. Holy Moses.
Mm-hmm.
That changes everything.
Driving to work one day and had a heart attack.
Wow. Did he drive truck too?
No.
I'm curious.
No, he was an electrician.
No kidding. I bet that was shocking.
I was thinking it.
Was Frankie,
I
just didn't Kilowatt.
Frankie Kilowatt. JKW.
I couldn't resist. That was there. I was like, it was right in front of my head. I don't usually think that quickly. So
that's because you slept.
Yeah. And he was at a Holiday Inn last night.
And he's heavily caffeinated.
Yes, he is. And he's going to continue to caffeinate himself all day long.
Smoke him if you got him.
He was really young. Your grandfather was really young.
Yeah, my dad celebrated the day he passed him. On his 48th birthday.
My dad's dead. That's where I thought he was going.
No, I call it bonus years. I mean, same thing. My dad passed early age too.
Yeah.
You know, passed him by 20, it's almost going to be 20 years.
Wow. Your dad was that young?
Yeah.
Wow. That is so.
Modern medicine.
Yep. Dang it.
No matter what's wrong with you, and keep it going for a while.
It's my retirement plan, you know? Just let me go.
Your hip shot, give you a new one today.
Do not resuscitate.
Why do you think when I'm on vacation, I don't take any kind of nothing?
He's hoping I'm on vacation, I can go.
Yep.
Oh, what's that twinge? Oh, boy. There you go.
I'm out.
Time to go.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, that's really, that is really young, 47. How old was your dad?
He was 47.
No kidding. It's like a magic number.
Like the 27 club with all the celebrities.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. 47 years old for dads and 27 year old for, celebrities.
My grandpa lived to be 80 something. Well, my mom's side, my dad's side, he died 60, but he was a drinker, a smoker. He did everything to get himself in the grave early.
And
my dad's still around. He's 70.
Wow.
Five, six. Wow. He's either 75 or 76.
My dad made it. Go ahead.
I mean, everybody. They tend to live. They were stubborn Germans. Pennsylvania German.
Nothing wrong with that.
They stuck around for a while.
My dad was a coal cracker.
Wow.
Coal cracker worked at the steel company.
Wow. Isn't that crazy? It is, life passes us by, but you know, here we are. We're all in our 50s looking at, you know.
Like you said, life's too short to drink cheap beer or whiskey.
Some of us are in our 50s.
Oh, yeah, some of us are past that.
Some of us have moved on.
We're in the 60 zone.
I keep forgetting, you know, gone in 60 seconds over here.
God damn it.
But anyway, back to
live fast, live hard, take chances.
There you go. You know, guy dies something, right? So might as well, you know, keep it short. Anyway, how long do you expect to live, Ed?
One day at a time, Brian. One day at a time.
Because I'm sure your wife is wondering.
She also has a calendar on the wall marking out the day.
Yeah.
It's a mark on it. Damn, not today.
Another one.
Damn, not today.
It is awesome. How many kids do you have? You raised kids doing, you know, truck driving and everything else. Had a family, raised kids, got married. You've been married for what, 30 years or so?
We've been married for 26, going on 27.
Oh, well, there you go. It's almost 30 years.
Yeah.
And how many kids?
We have two kids. Of course, you know one of them. He works at Pitt, Ohio.
What a nice kid. He always says hi to me. There's not that many of the dock workers that when you walk by go,
because you're as short as him. He thinks you're his dad. Anybody over 6 feet, you don't know him.
You can't see that.
Oh, there's that. His eyes. He's blind, dude.
And what does your other son do? So we know that, that Nate works on the dock, the pit. Is he is he planning on going to drive for Pitt at some point? Like, is he looking to become a driver, or is he content doing what he's doing now?
He's perfectly content where he's at. Okay. I never encouraged any of them to drive. I
heard that.
Yeah. My dad never encouraged any of us to drive, and all three of us drive.
No kidding. You brothers?
Yeah.
And they're still alive?
Yeah.
Tell them to come on the show.
They don't drive.
They drive. Do they drive? That's what he just said.
I wasn't paying attention. I listened to the show.
Put your headphones on. Your ears aren't working.
I got the screens out.
one delivers home heating oil, and one works for Swift Trucking.
Oh, I feel sorry for his loss.
Yeah. He's been there for 18 years and loves it.
He's not the accident-prone guy.
He's got a million miles.
There he goes.
Okay.
Uh-oh, here we go.
So, no. Just detour.
Oh boy, here we go.
My wife sees this thing on the Book of Face. And she didn't get it. You know, she says, "I don't get it." It was a picture of a Swiss truck and a sign saying 12.6, and she didn't understand it. Oh, right. And I says, "You have to drive to understand, honey." I says, "The truck's a 13.6.
Right.
And usually Swift takes the last top foot off the trailer."
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I says, "They're just usually known for that."
We're up to date now.
Go ahead, Ed. Sorry.
There's a. I don't know if you ever saw that meme where it says Swift Driver Simulator or something, and it's a wooden truck, and it's a playground, and it says Swift Driver Simulator. We were up in upstate PA. We went up to Scranton, and one of these places that sells sheds and swing sets and stuff.
That's Amish country.
They had the big thing set up, and it was a tractor trailer, a wooden thing where kids can climb on it, it said. And it said the same thing. It's Swift painted on the side, and underneath said Driver Simulator.
And the Million Mile Safety Award.
Well, I won't make
fun. Well, I was going to say, he probably won't come on now.
You guys talked to a Swift driver. I think when Tony was still on the show. You talked to a Swift driver.
Yeah,
he was there
for like every other driver, just more accident prone.
It's those damn poles at the truck stop that keep getting them all the time.
It is. Well, you know, they're willing to hire somebody who has no experience.
Well, yeah, that's
what
that's where they make their money.
It is. It's where they make their money. They don't pay them
anything.
Right. You don't pay them much, and that's just the reality of it. And but thankfully, they get all their accidents out of the way before they come to Pitt.
But
you know,
hopefully,
yeah.
The reason why he stays, he could go,
of course.
But the reason why he stays is he's like anybody else. He don't like driving the snow. All he's got to do is call their safety department up and say, "I don't feel safe," and he shuts it down for the night.
Wow. That's not bad.
Although Pitt's gotten a lot better with that.
They have.
I mean, when we first started.
Did you ever call him and say that? No.
I had my disagreement. When I jackknifed in 2003, the world's slowest jackknife, I was doing like 20 miles an hour, and I just felt the truck go this way, and we folded in on each other. But they said that it should have been my call. I didn't feel the roads were safe, and they weren't. It was icy. But back then, Hickman was in charge of, and he's like, "You got to go. Somebody else went out. You got to go."
Right.
And where because they were writing people
up.
He'd
get written up for it.
I remember Bruce Foley got written up for that. So I was like, I had to go out. But now they sent me a letter, which I still carry to this day.
Yeah.
If I don't feel it's safe, I need to speak up. So I still, from 2003, I still carry this goddamn letter, and I will always carry that with me if they have a problem with me not wanting to go out when it's bad out. But they got really good with it. Now they shut it down.
I don't like driving it in the dark. It's not safe.
You have to mainly thank the state of Pennsylvania for that.
Now they declare state
because,
emergency.
You know, those tier levels. Yes. We're forecasting 0 to 84 inches of snow this Tuesday and Wednesday. So
it's an emergency.
We're in tier four right now, and it hasn't snowed yet.
And that's ever since all you guys sat out on 78 there back what, 16, 17 years?
Oh, I was right.
That was about St. Valentine's Day Massacre on the highway? Yeah, it was a great day.
That was right before I came to Pitt, Ohio.
Yeah, it was wonderful. Yeah.
I admired that coming. I was coming east, and they were all lined up. Oh, wow, they're going to be fucked for a while.
Yeah, and I was a mile away from the Hamburg exit. I could see it.
From the STBU file.
Yeah. I was almost home. And there I sat till the next day.
Right.
It's awesome.
What do you mean you're not coming into work? You left.
I didn't even get home from the plane leaving yesterday.
You call work in the morning. I'm still on the road. I won't be in tonight. Really? What? You didn't sleep? What else were you doing? Almost getting killed, freezing to death, whatever, you know, take your pick. But yeah, that was it. So your brother drives for Swift. Your other brother delivers fuel oil, which is really cool. I'd love to have a conversation with both those guys. I think that'd be an interesting.
Well, you can't get the fuel oil guy nowadays. He's in his busy season.
Yeah, it is busy season. Yeah, 100%.
We finally got, you know, we went from fall where it's, you know, 32 in the morning and 79 in the afternoon from heat to air. It's all heat now.
Right.
Yeah,
it's all heat.
Yeah.
Finally. We made it to the heating season.
Right.
It didn't happen till almost December.
Right.
But hey, here we are. But anyway, back to Ed. So your dad bought you a truck and then you went to Hatfield. How did you like driving for Hatfield? Like what went through your head when I first started driving and I first started having to hit North Jersey? Like, I mean, I hated it.
I grew up there.
Having gone up with your dad and all of that, you kind of knew what you were getting into, seeing it and knowing what it's like to get around.
Being around my dad, the one thing my dad always said, no matter where I am in the country, there's always a load going to New York City.
I believe that.
And that was the first thing he asked for, is a load to New York City.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Like, he asked for that.
Yeah, because a lot of people, they're scared out of their hands to go to New York City.
Two hands. Amen, brother.
I've never driven anything but a motorcycle in New York City. And that was terrifying.
It is terrifying.
It's not that bad.
It's not that good either.
When I was with Hatfield, I was going in at, you know, 3 a.m. and then making my deliveries and, you know, lunchtime, I'm on my way out and they're still on their way in or moving around, you know. But it really wasn't as bad as people make it out to be. You know, I might be.
God bless you. No, that's cool. I'm glad there are guys like you who are willing to do it. I really am. I think that's fantastic.
I'll use the same line my dad used last time he was there. I didn't leave anything over there, and I'm not going back for anything.
Heard that.
I mean, doing what we do now, why would I want to go back to that?
Right. Right. Exactly.
You know, but if I had to do it, I could.
So how long were you at Hatfield?
Well, I was there for twice. I was there for 3.5 years.
Mm-hmm. And you liked it so much you went back.
Well, it wasn't that so much. I liked it. I shouldn't have left the first time.
What'd you leave for? If I can ask. I'm just
grass
curious.
Greener on the other side.
Yeah, it's usually what most drivers do, so, you know.
And chased a job and found out it wasn't everything I wanted it to be. So, you know, then that's what led me into buying my own truck.
Okay.
And I had that for 1.5 years until, you know, I figured I'm a single guy. I've got my truck. I'll be fine.
Yeah.
When you know it, 6 months into it, I met my wife. Yeah. And then that was the end of it.
And that created the
women hardship. Ruin everything.
They do.
Everything we got, in our lives. We got married and. You know, I told her before we got married, I'll never own this truck and be married at the same time.
Yeah, imagine.
It's just not.
Not conducive to a happy marriage.
I watched the lifestyle of my parents.
Yeah.
And I told her I'd never do that. And I didn't. I had the truck sold before we got married.
Wow. That's freaking awesome.
And then I went back to Hatfield.
Okay. So when you had your own. What kind of stuff were you doing?
Same thing I was doing for my dad. I was hauling hazardous materials, a lot of ores.
Where do they go with hazardous material? Like, what? Literally, what do they do with it?
There are hazardous material landfills, pug mills and in the landfills, different things like that. They'll treat it before they put it in the ground.
Okay.
I went to, the only time I ever did it, I loaded a load out of Boston, went to a radioactive landfill in Utah, west of Salt Lake City.
Wow. That is a haul.
I left on a Sunday and I delivered on Thursday.
Wow.
And that was a nice ride. I enjoyed the ride.
Right.
It was radioactive, but it wasn't enough to be placarded. So you could go across and be, you know.
Call me crazy, but any amount of radiation, I think we should be placarding.
Well, I drove in the, no.
Turn the lights off in the truck.
Oh, I'm glowing.
It was dirt. It was that ground effects lighting before it was famous.
But, you know, I drove into the landfill, went back and delivered, came back out, and the guy says, oh, by the way, if we can't get the Geiger counter to read properly, that truck's going back into the landfill. And I'm like, you tell me this now?
Wow.
I just bought this truck a week ago.
Wow.
It was fine, but.
Thank goodness. Did they put like a liner in there?
Everything we did with the hazardous, we had rolls of plastic.
Okay.
And we put a roll of plastic down up the walls and.
Kind of how my wife's cooking is. We put a roll of plastic under everything.
Like emergency.
It's usually radioactive.
It's a crime scene. Put the plastic down.
I love my wife. And she thankfully, she just chuckles at it. You know, she just looks at me and you're a jerk.
She picks up great pizza.
She does. Doesn't she? She does a fine job. Anyway. So, like, did you ever haul anything when you were hauling radioactive or when you were hauling, you know, any of the hazmat stuff?
That radioactive.
That was the only thing ever was that one load. Like, that's just so crazy. You know, like, and you think about it, it does have to get moved. But, like, where are you picking up at in you said Massachusetts, right?
Boston. Yeah, it was Boston.
So, like, what was it? Did somebody have a radioactive spill?
There was a business there, and whatever they did at that business, and they, over years of time,
accumulated a trailer's worth.
It got into, not a trailer's worth. There were a lot of trailers.
Oh, so this was like a cleanup thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like those little
watches. You just don't have one trailer radioactive.
What used to be out here in Hamburg, they had like, I think it was a battery plant or something like that.
Yeah.
And there was a Superfund thing to clean it up. And is that something like that?
There was one down in Reading,
too. Yeah. Exide.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't remember what it was up here in Hamburg.
I may not have been battered already.
Did you? Mm-hmm. I was just curious. Like, what kind of stuff, like, what would you be picking up in Boston?
We did a lot of lead in the ground. We did Superfund sites, and there was one in New Jersey. I think we hauled
up in Mayfield there.
No, it was down in South Jersey. I'm not sure where it was anymore, but I must have hauled 20 loads out of there, and that job went for months.
Did they pay well? Those Superfund, you know, sites like
that, all that hazmat paid well.
Yeah. I was curious.
At the time. That was one of the reasons why my dad bought dump trailers at the time, because that's where the money was. You know. And, then he ran dump trailer till he got rid of the dump trailers and bought a triaxle.
Wow.
And then, I don't know.
Well, he must have worked hours. I can't imagine. Like, I get irritated when I hit 55 or 60.
Well,
imagine the hours.
The one thing he used to always say, I did it for a year and a half. I'd tell him, man, Dad, just go to work for somebody.
Right.
No, I don't want anybody to tell me what to do.
Wow.
And two, I don't want a slip seat.
God bless him, man. I mean,
and that was why he did it.
And I get it. I understand that, really.
He spent hours in the garage working on it.
What a gifted person to be able to work on your own, do your own, and really set your own rules.
It's where you make your money.
I mean,
you had to. Like you said, that's the only way you made the money.
Right. Is you're not paying someone else to do all the extra work on it.
You got to buy the parts, you're the labor.
Wow. Boy, I'd starve to death.
I'd be in trouble.
You know what I'm saying? I know where the fuel goes.
Yeah, I can do the cap. I can check the oil. I can put washer fluid in.
I can do a pre-trip.
I'm one of those guys. I got to watch the video first, and then I can do it.
Yeah, you too. I did a lot of work on my cars and stuff in the past.
I could watch 50 videos of it, and I'm still like, how does this go? Tony said that to me. Just watch a video, Dad.
My brother is good with that. My brother rebuilt an engine.
Wow.
And he was the dumbest I've ever met in my life. He watched some YouTube videos over and over again. He rebuilt a Chevy. It was an S10 pickup truck. He rebuilt that little four cylinder just by watching YouTube videos.
Isn't that crazy?
That sucker ran until it burnt down. But I don't know if that was from him, but I don't know if that's something he did, but he rebuilt that truck.
Smoke him if you got him.
Was that like a first Tesla?
Right.
Hey.
Couldn't resist that one. I'm sorry, Mike. I love Tesla. I do. I think they're really cool. I wouldn't mind having one. You know, like I don't have any problem with EVs.
You know? They're fun.
Yeah.
But they're not exactly. For everyone.
It's not a big deal. You know?
And pickup driving.
I just like to joke around about it.
The pickup driving public to say, oh, buy an electric truck, they just laugh at you. That's why I put it up on Hammer Lane Legends on the website.
Huh?
Did you see the picture I put up?
Oh, you really got on the website?
Yeah. I put it.
Oh, you're the guy.
You're the guy.
Comparing about the electric tractors and the conventional
right.
diesel ones. I just put and go because I knew it was going to stir it off.
It's beautiful, isn't it? Sometimes it's just fun to poke the bear.
It is.
What do you think about the EVs, the tractor trailer EVs, and that kind of stuff, Ed? I'm curious. And there's no, you know,
tractor trailer EVs. I don't see where it ever. It ever becomes a thing.
It'll become a thing at the ports. Like last mile stuff. Nothing like what? Over the road? Yeah, there's not enough range. But at the ports, where they want to clean up the air at the ports and the trucks, there's no miles put on. Like the yard horses
local,
and stuff moving around.
That could very well
I think that'll. I think for over the road, eventually.
In a lot of those places, those yard horses are moving 24 hours a day.
There's no time to plug them in.
Yeah.
You got to fuel it and go, I guess. Well,
they're all union, so they all have to take their 30-minute break. And a lot of those trucks, since they aren't going very far, when they're going on their mandatory 30 minutes, plug them in. They can make an easy 8-hour shift, 12-hour shift, whatever.
And they generate power when you hit the brakes.
Well,
is that correct? I'm trying to make sure.
Really hitting the brakes. The electric motor turns in when it spins to power you along.
Uh-huh.
When you take off, it turns into a generator, and it generates and throws that power back in the battery.
And because you're in.
And you're constantly stop, go.
Yeah, you're constantly doing that.
You could probably get a truck that with 100-mile range, and it would last all 12 hour days.
It's like a pallet jack. When you're riding across the dock, you let off, and it automatically slows down.
Oh, the power ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably regen in there. It's using the electric motor to slow it down. It's the same principle. The electric forklifts are like that, too.
Yeah.
You know, if you ever drove an electric forklift, when you back off of it, it kind of throws you forward because it's regenerating and throwing. Like a little bit of, not a lot, but whatever you can regenerate. It's like us hitting our Jake brakes in the truck.
Yeah.
A couple drops of diesel going back into the tank is what it equates to. Slowing you down. It's not going to.
It's not going to recharge the battery, but it's going to keep it from.
It can if you pull it. I seen a video. They had a Ford F-150, just a regular one, not an electric one, but they had a Tesla behind it that was on dead. Battery completely dead. They drove down on. They towed it around this racetrack, a road course, went around two laps. The car got enough power back in it to drive around the track once.
Hey, truckers, ever find yourself miles from home and running low on your daily meds? Don't worry, we've got your back. Meet Refill Genie, the telehealth service designed just for folks like us who are always on the move. Whether you're crossing state lines or hauling coast to coast, Refill Genie connects you with a licensed doctor to refill your existing prescriptions hassle-free. No more detours or long waits at the clinic. Just hop online and get your meds and keep on trucking. Use code HLL for a 15% off your order. So head over to refillgenie.com and keep your health in gear wherever the road takes you.
Just by regenning.
Just by regenning it.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy.
Definitely not an efficient way to do it because that Ford F-150 pulling that thing used twice the fuel it would regular could tow up. But it was
that's why they should have a 9,900 watt generator. Gasoline,
that right in it, going. That way you can keep moving.
Yeah.
Well, they do have that. New Dodge Ram pickup truck is going to be extended range. It's going to have a little V6 in it that will never power the wheels, but it runs as a generator and
to power.
It's like a 600-700-mile range to
recharge.
Truck. Yeah, you can plug it in, you charge it up, and then while you're driving,
is that basically how like a Prius works?
No, well, yeah, they have plug-in hybrids, but that's a serial. I mean, the plug-in hybrid, they're, I forget what they call it. It's a regular hybrid where the gas engine will power the wheels.
Yeah.
But like with that new Dodge truck, it's like the old Chevy Volts. Remember those? Yep. Not the Bolt.
The Volt. Yeah.
It had a little engine that was just a generator. It would never actually power the wheels at all. Mm-hmm. It would just fill up the battery as you drive.
Okay.
And, you know, for trucks, for what we do trucking, I just don't think we're there yet. Because the amount of batteries you have to have, even on some of these other ones that have a 300-400 mile range,
right,
the batteries are almost 10 grand. So it's like you're taking away so much cargo capacity because you're still...
Because you've got to carry that weight.
With the electric, they give you another 2,000 pounds. So you're 82,000 pounds max is what you're allowed to be. But that's nothing. They're just not there.
Right.
But like I said, with ports and stuff like that, it would make
interesting.
And yard horses at businesses. Yeah. Like what we do with the yard horses, you could easily do that with electric. And you'd have no maintenance. Tires.
Yeah, you're not burning through
brakes.
The hydraulic stuff, and other than that, but
you know. Well, a lot of the hydraulic, you have hydraulics, but a lot of that's
that's
electric. So it's not like you got to have the motor, the diesel motor running.
But get your motor running.
Oh, there you go, get Johnny. Johnny Kilowatt went off again. It was brought up to me. I didn't do it.
Anyway, so what do you think about them? Do you like the EVs or like tractor trailer?
I'm not a fan. I don't. Like I said, I just don't think they'll become that big of a thing.
Well, and for a guy
for range purposes,
and for a guy who's been in the industry for a long time, what do you think about the autonomous vehicles? The ones that they drive themselves.
Who's going to open the doors?
Yeah, don't look at me. I don't. I'm in agreement with you. I don't buy into any of that.
I don't think they'll ever do away with the city driver.
They can't,
because who's going to P&D it?
Right.
You know, that's just the way it is. And they're not going to, there's just no way. I don't see any way possible. I don't see any way forward trying to get a tractor trailer drive through city traffic to a customer to back up.
And all the regulations on hazmat.
Right.
Who's going to check the bills?
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. That's why.
Well, that's my never thing. Do why I don't think it'll ever come to be, because what congressman or senator is going to want to sign off on something that could possibly kill if it fails?
Yep. Yep.
Kill a bunch of people, then they're going to be the ones looked at. Yep. So they don't never have because they can't get cars. I just came off a full self-driving demo of my car. They can't get cars to do it safely.
Right.
Put a flammable toad in it, and then.
But when you read the articles like from Aurora out there in Pittsburgh, they've got it all. They know what they're doing, but they keep pushing off the start date for this, the launch date.
The tech will be there, but it's going to be like an airplane. They still need pilots, even though most of the time
they can't get real ID to work yet.
Do we need to get that?
I know.
My license is due.
It says the May 25th, somewhere in that area you're supposed to be utilizing it.
Mine's due April 25th or April 15th. And
why don't they just make real ID every, but don't make it a choice.
Well, it's extra money.
Then what? I don't understand. What is the purpose of it? Unless you're going to travel a lot, then it comes in handy there.
Well, that plus the fact of the matter is you just got to prove, bring all your documents up to DMV.
The thing I don't understand is if a truck driver has the hazmat endorsement on his list, he has to do all that crap, jump through all those hoops with TSA. You ought to automatically get a real ID. If you don't, the state is screwing you. That's what's happening. They want more money out of your pocket. That's how I see it.
That's the way it always is.
It ought to be. I mean, that's been my identification since I started driving.
Look, you only got to
deal. It's not my fault that the state can't tell the difference between a fake one and a real one. You
got to deal with only one, TSA. I got TSA. I got the
WIC.
I got the TWIC card. I got, I got the
WIC.
WIC, women, infants, and children. Yeah.
I got the ATF,
I already get a background check.
Alphabet soups. They know where I live. There's no hiding me.
I just never understood the whole real
NSA,
ID.
MSNBC, must sell network before Christmas.
It is your driver. I guess the real ID is your driver's license.
But
you already have a driver.
You don't have the gold star on it.
But that's what I'm saying. If you're a hazmat driver, if you have the endorsement,
you've already gone through the
TSA hoops. You've got to get a background check. You've got to get fingerprinted.
Yeah, but
to get something
That agency's computer does not talk to your local.
But that's not my problem. That's their problem. And they make it my problem and charge me more for another stinking
license. But the TSA says, you can go 5 years before you need to be re-upped. Right. The state, you need to be doing it in four.
Right. Now you tell me who's got, who it's freaking retarded.
But every 4 years. Pardon, yeah,
right. We're not allowed to use that word anymore.
I know. I just, it's coming out of my mouth. I'm
another
like,
one. Cut that part
it.
Out.
I apologize.
Put a beep
it's
in
not
there.
Not what I meant. It's just, it's
no, that was Mr. Merkel that said that.
So ridiculous.
Yes. The HR department. It's,
you know, what is the timestamp on that?
Who cares?
Send a letter to Merkel from Merkel Media. Sent.
Yeah. He'll comment back on you on the social media Lord website where he's banned from.
Anyway, I think it's ridiculous. That's my point of view.
I think the hazmat endorsement is ridiculous. Every 4 years, you got to go get fingerprinted?
Right.
Yeah,
is your fingerprints changing?
Right. But see, now, what they're doing is
no, they just want to make sure you got all 10 digits, you know, because you could be like some people.
I mean, well, here's the thing. I do get that. The thing I do get is that, okay, your background check could have changed. You could have become a criminal over the past 4 years. So, okay, yeah, you need, you know, you should get re-fingerprinted and checked again. Okay. I got no problem with that. If you're going to hold everybody to that standard, I got no problem with that.
Well, everybody,
the problem that I have
everybody
with
that, that
is
has
you don't
a hazardous
hold,
license, they do.
Do you think that everybody coming across the border, getting a CDL over in the United States, is or anybody driving across the border from Canada or from Mexico?
Do you think they're worried about a CDL if they're coming across the border?
My point is, if they're driving across and they're going by Mexican law and they're hauling hazmat across, are we playing that game here in the States?
And we enter the political portion of Hammer Alien.
We did. But, or Canada. That's what I'm saying. Is it, you know, are we, because this is North America, are we all following the same rules?
NAFTA.
Somebody else should not be able to come into this country and drive a hazmat without having to do all the same hoops that I've got to jump through.
The thing that I don't understand is, do they really think somebody who's going to do something bad with a truck and hazardous material is going
to
work?
Ever think
I have to get my
CDL, bad with an airplane?
To get my hazmat license.
Did they ever think someone's going to do anything bad with an airplane?
I understand. Did you ever think somebody's going to do something bad with a U-Haul truck?
I don't mind doing the hoops. I'll do the hoops. If that's what you want to require of me, require it of everybody. Or don't require me to do it. I'm a citizen here. Require me and require everybody else who comes in over the borders, either north or south. I don't care. Everybody needs to follow the same rules. If they're not, then you drop your trailer at the border. You drop your trailer at the southern border, and somebody with a legal United States,
a yard switcher,
federal motor carrier association,
yard switcher,
a FMCSA person,
yard switcher.
If he just shuts his pie hole.
Well, I'm just saying, the yard
can
switcher.
Can you go on your phone?
The yard switcher. Okay.
You gave permission.
A yard switcher.
All I'm saying is I want to be treated the same way as you treat everybody else. And treat everybody else the way you treat me. That's it. The law should be blind no matter where you're from or who you are. That's how it's supposed to be.
That's
right?
Nice. But yeah, how it's supposed to be
I
and
know.
What it actually is.
I know it's a dream.
Off.
I know it's a dream. But that's how it's supposed to be.
Hold on. Let me call Mar-a-Lago. I'll get that fixed for you right now. Okay. I got the hotline.
So what do you think about all that, Ed? And go ahead. Wherever you go is where we're going to go.
Hot sauce is not from New York
country,
City.
Go. Oh, now I said one. Oh, now I did it again.
you're good.
Yeah, those words are
those
okay.
Words are all right.
FCC.
Not those words. Those are bad words. Bring it. Hey, man, what are you talking about?
SEC.
NSA.
Yeah, there's a lot of things in hazmat and everything where you just, you know, you scratch your head and wonder what.
Right.
Yeah, you know, but it's a bunch of bureaucrats who
get a paycheck.
Never sat in a truck before in their life, and now they're making up our rules.
Right. Well, they had to appear to do something after 9/11, so they just came up with a lot of these arbitrary rules. Just, we're doing something. We're doing something.
Right.
They ain't doing anything, but we're doing something.
Right.
For years going into New York City, it was always trucks, bottom level of the tunnels. Mm-hmm. Always bottom level. Or not the tunnels.
I was going to say, bottom level of the tunnels.
I didn't know there was one more bottom level.
Yeah.
Bottom level of the bridges.
Yeah.
As soon as 9/11 happened, all right, trucks, top level.
Why?
Because they were afraid you'd blow up the bridge.
Well,
they might blow up, and then there's nothing there. So if you're underneath, you blow up, you could take out the roadway, I guess.
If you're on thinking. Top.
Okay.
But if you have enough, you're going to take the bridge, yeah. No matter what.
Or a little boat could hit the bottom of the bridge. You stand a better chance underneath
under the bridge.
Francis Scott Key.
Yeah.
Rest in peace.
But no, that's a good point. I didn't know. Honestly, I never took a big truck over the bridges.
Yeah, never.
I took a straight truck into New York City.
Well, it was them once, too.
And that sucked.
Once.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Me and Johnny Dangerously. Did anybody get that movie reference? Johnny Dangerously, Michael Keaton, right? Joe Piscopo. It's a hilarious movie. If you haven't ever seen
it. From what decade?
80s.
Yep.
My father did that to me once. Once. Never mind.
I never saw the movie.
You should see it. Take the time to watch it. It's funny.
I'll put it on my watch list.
Okay. Makes you feel like you're with the TSA, huh? You're on their watch list too. Watch
list. I'm on many lists probably.
Anyway. Ed, we're back to you. So now you've had your truck. You sold your truck. And is that when you went back to Hatfield?
Yes.
Okay. So you sold your truck. So now, were you doing the same thing for Hatfield when you went back? Did you start doing the same, covering the same areas again?
Yes.
Did you just really like going up to New York and North Jersey? Did you enjoy that?
Yeah, I did.
That's what he knew. That. No sense learning a different area.
They tried to move me down to Washington, D.C., and I told them I didn't want to.
No.
Washington, D.C. and Baltimore. I said, no, leave me in New York. I know it. I like it. Let me do it.
Okay. I can see that. That makes sense.
I don't think they would have fought you too hard because most people don't want anything.
Do. Right. No, they fought me. They
really?
Yeah, they pushed me down there for a little bit.
Wow. So what, did you come back with a lot of freight?
I got too many hams.
See, here's the thing. You know that.
You're talking about meat. There's no coming back with it.
Ed's having a fire sale on the side of the road.
Two hams for a dollar out the back of the trailer.
No, they were leftovers. I don't know.
The only way you brought it back is if dispatch said you brought it back.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You sit and wait.
Sure.
You'll sit and wait until they take it.
Were you delivering to stores? Were you delivering to restaurants? I'm curious. Like, what
we
was
were
your
delivering
delivery?
To wholesalers mostly. Okay. You know, the guys who are delivering to the stores and the restaurants.
Well, that's not bad. So you're like delivering to warehouses. Mm-hmm. Still wouldn't want to go to New York.
No. Hope it wasn't Wakefern Foods because you have to break it all down 20 different pallets.
Yep.
Oh, I hated that crap.
Put everything on its own pallet. You know, you handled a lot of freight.
Sure.
You handled a lot of boxes.
I bet.
But.
Yeah. Did they pay you for that? Did it like when you were delivering?
I was paid hourly.
Oh, okay, so yeah, they did pay you for that.
If I went, you know, what they called trips, which was 500 miles or more per day, then you were a mileage.
Oh, give me a 499 mile trip, I'll be happy. Yeah.
Did you get paid overtime? Like, were you over? Did you have overtime pay? Is what
yes.
I mean. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's really cool.
They didn't pay a whole lot, but
well, I mean, it was 1980s, 90s.
90s. Don't. I'm not that old.
You're not sure. So you're not Randy?
No. No.
Randy started driving in 79.
Yeah, you know.
I'm like, holy crap, dude.
I was, what, 6 years old when he started driving?
Yeah, I was like 11. I'm like, holy crap.
Randy's driving truck. I'm driving tow truck. So when Randy breaks down, guess who's coming to get Randy?
Or when he has the accident up on the turnpike.
Was that where he had his accident?
Yeah, it was just south of Scranton.
Wow.
Oh, it wasn't on the turnpike. I thought it was up on 81.
Was it on 81? Okay.
Up by the turnpike. Yeah, up by the turnpike. It was up there. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
When a deer decided he was going to be the co-pilot.
Yeah, I mean, jump right on.
That's fucking scary.
Heck yeah.
I remember that story. Ooh. You guys had it on your show. Yeah, told the story.
That was
crazy.
The fact that he's still walking around is incredible.
Yeah, 100%. Thank God for that.
A lot of people say that.
Especially back in the 80s, you know,
right?
Medical technology isn't what it is today.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, they had the technology to rebuild them.
Yeah, back in the 70s with the $6 million man.
$6 million man.
Yeah. You know, with Biden inflation, that's going to be $6.8 billion.
I know that one because it was in reruns when I was a little kid. I watched it.
Or Mr. Potato Head.
Jeez, you're going back to the
March
fort?
Are cheaper. Yeah. Move that
eyeball.
His
potato's rotted. Get another one.
Get another cowboy hat. Cat got your tongue?
Give me your toys. I got to make dinner.
I just wonder when they added the string.
What was that, 96? Buzz Lightyear come out?
Oh, Woody reference?
Just <Mine's> saying.
Oh, my word.
Anyway.
It went jolly kilowatt power there. Pull string.
I got the hamsters in the back running on a wheel. That's what powers the car.
Back to
Ed. Please stand by. Breathe in.
Anybody got any questions for Ed?
Did a lot of inside references. I don't know if the audience is going to get a whole lot of
them. Bring the card out.
It's just hilarious.
Start putting footnotes at the bottom of the screen.
Yes. Closed captioning for the unknown.
Got to get Morgan Freeman to do the narration over top. This is where the guys went off on a tangent, and here's why.
Oh, that was worth it, man. That was worth it. Anyway, so how long did you work for Hatfield the second time?
8.5 years.
Okay, so you had like a total of 12 years.
12 years.
And then you went where? Like, what made you move from Hatfield at that point?
At that point.
And did you ever see anything going on? I mean, you had to have stories going to New York and North Jersey. You had to see weird, crazy stuff.
It's not stuff I'd say on the air. That's
true. Just have to work around the right words.
The biggest thing I feared up there, and I had it happen, and I made the mistake when I was young of doing it, is I went in the Bronx.
Well, that was a mistake.
I went to the Bronx all the time. But I went to the Bronx Terminal Market, which was right next to Yankee Stadium.
Okay.
And I went in there, and the place wasn't open yet.
Hmm.
I had 12 pallets of lard to deliver to them. And I backed up to their dock, and I thought, I'll get a jump on it. I'll start moving the stuff to the back.
Mm-hmm.
It's daylight. 7:30, and next thing I know, there's a guy in the trailer with me.
Wow.
And he's like, I'm gonna help you move this stuff back. And I said, no, you're not. And at the time, I never really thought about what could have happened,
right?
You know, but I look back at it now going, huh, I'm probably lucky I'm still standing here.
Yeah.
You know?
Find Ed 6 months later in the reefer trailer.
All frozen.
Yeah.
But, you know. But
that, the Goodfellas maneuver.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, my dad had the stories for New York City. My dad was hijacked in New York City.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Jeez.
He was hijacked, loaded a load of jeans out in Queens, just off the Atlantic Expressway.
Uh-huh.
And he was on the frontage road. It was 8:30 at night. He sat there all day. 8:30 at night, he loaded that load of jeans and was headed back to I think it's the Whitestone Bridge that the Van Wyck runs to. But anyway, he was headed back to the bridge to get out of the city and come home. It was a Friday night, and a car cut him off and made him stop, and he got out, and the guy said, oh, you hit my car, and all this and that, and, you know, and he went back, and it's your trailer wheels hit it, and he went back and showed him, there's no paint on the trailer wheels. I didn't hit you.
Right.
And the guy grabbed my dad by the shoulder. And when he grabbed my dad by the shoulder, he came around with a closed fist. And it was at that point he saw the gun out of the corner of his eye. And he dropped his hands and said, all right, whatever you want.
Wow.
Probably the smartest thing to do in that
one. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Good Lord.
They put him in a car, drove him out the Long Island Expressway.
Did they take the truck or they
took the truck. Wow. They took the truck. They never damaged the truck. They never took anything out of the truck except for the load. It's all they wanted.
They found his truck then?
They found the truck 4 days later.
Heck out. Wow. Thank goodness he was okay. I mean, that's the biggest thing. I mean, right there. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
Everything else is replaceable.
Jeez, that's a...
But man,
that's
what a,
terrifying.
How about it?
For an hour and a half, he laid face down on the back seat of a car. He could feel the gun in the back of his leg.
Wow.
And they ran him out all the way out to the end of Long Island and dropped him off, said, don't turn around until we're gone.
Wow.
He said, okay.
At least they took him to a nice place out by the Hamptons. And
did he leave him have his wallet? I mean, did he have his wallet with him?
They didn't take anything.
Wow, that's really good.
Not a thing.
That's like a professional thing there.
They're not here to hurt anybody. Just steal your stuff.
It was professional. We don't want you. We want that freight. We'll hurt you if you get in the way, but you do what we tell you to do. We're not going to touch you.
The cops are going to come after them a lot harder if they hurt you or if they just steal a load. Then that's, you know, it's freight and everything.
That was back in the 80s. That stuff was running rampant at that time.
Wow.
You don't hear that anymore today.
That's a Goodfellas kind of thing.
That is a Goodfellas kind of thing, yeah.
The freight. They weren't out to hurt the people.
Hence the hanging on the refrigerated truck.
Right. Holy Moses. Wow. So you never experienced anything like that as far as going up to New York or anything like that? Any other kind of stories? Like backing up or getting involved with any nefarious people? You know, like playing the game, like, oh, you hit me or... Did you ever experience any of those things up there?
No, I didn't.
That's good. I'm glad.
I'm glad. Like I said, I was up there 12 years, and I never had any problems with much of anybody. I mean, I went to my customers, I backed in, I did my thing, you know.
Are you a Yankees fan or are you a New York fan?
Oh,
I don't know, man. Look at his hat.
Are you that's the Eagles. I'm talking Yankees and baseball. Are you
still a Philadelphia guy?
Okay, so that conversation's over.
I got nothing to say. I have no.
I don't
follow horse in the race anyway. I'm not a fan of anything.
I'm the same way. Shipper.
What?
Yep. Okay.
Back then. Still here.
Present.
But almost accounted for. So you drove for. So now you went from Hatfield.
I went from
on
Hatfield,
your second time to.
I went from Hatfield to. GAF in Quakertown.
Okay.
The GAF shingle plant.
Okay.
Which is no more and it doesn't exist anymore.
But work for them until they went out of business or did you just work for them for a while?
I worked for them till I saw the writing on the wall that was coming to an end.
Smart move, yeah.
And then I left there and came to Pitt, Ohio.
Wow.
How long happily have you been ever now? After.
Right, exactly. Everybody. It's always
17 years.
Wow. Wow.
You're here 17 years already.
Yeah.
Holy crap. I still consider you a new guy.
I know.
I consider myself a new guy.
It's a new guy. He's here 17 years. Mike's got some longevity, I guess.
Yeah.
I see all these guys here. I was like, oh, yeah, he's a new guy. How long have you been here? 20 years? Like,
anybody's here less than we are.
Yeah.
There's new guys here now who they quit, and I didn't even know they worked here.
I don't know. Like the bottom five or six guys? I don't know. I mean, I've seen their faces, but I don't know them.
Yeah. Santiago was only here for less than a year.
Who's that?
What was his first name? Carlos. Carlos Santiago.
I think he's the
very
one.
Nice guy.
I think he's the one I heard just quit, and I didn't even know he quit. I just
found that out a couple weeks ago myself.
I don't even know who the guy is.
Where did he go?
Was he was like a little Luigi guy. He went to Puerto Rican. They went to Saya.
He went to
with
Saya.
Glasses.
Yeah.
Okay.
What led you to become the trainer?
He has all this wisdom and knowledge to impart. On the younger generation.
Wow, well, led me to it. I'm waiting for that trip to go out to Pittsburgh so I can annoy the shit out of Linehall. when I get that call, Russell's going to get the call. I'm coming to town.
And hell's coming with me.
Lock the doors.
Damn right. Change the code that my badge doesn't work on that door.
Do you really think they're going to let you come out there?
No, but that's my promise.
And what do you mean you wait? You're going to wait till you get to Pittsburgh to give Russell a hard time? You give Russell a hard time every night of the week.
Yeah, but he can hang up the phone. Or bad connection crumbles that's the paper true. Up. Oh, I can't hear you.
Again. Yeah.
Oh, you stay I end up hanging up on him.
Well, what was it that drove you to become a driver? I mean, a
trainer.
Trainer. driver trainer is what I wanted to say. Like, is there something that enticed you to it? The extra money that you haven't gotten yet?
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Just say.
Nope. Not coming.
I have no idea why you want to do that. I can't stand driving around with anybody.
Yeah. No. Yep.
I have nothing to teach anybody.
When I was with Hatfield.
Let's just say Sean Hockey's the one to put my name in the hat.
Not even your boss anymore.
Yeah. Well, there's that.
He's not even his friend anymore now.
Right. Anyway. He's on the do not call list.
He's on the do not resuscitate list. If I see you laying down on the ground and your heart's not beating, buddy, you're on your own.
As long as you can get me to Harrisburg, I'll be all right.
Anyway, what were you going to say, Ed?
When I was with Hatka, it was the only time I ever trained anybody.
Uh-huh.
And there was a kid, he was coming out of the plant to mm-hmm. become a driver, and he had his permit, and they gave him to me, and he rode with me probably for a month.
So you had a lumper.
Yeah, built in. Here, you get up there, you throw it down to me. I'll throw it on the cart. You know
exactly.
But he was a good kid. He was a really nice guy, mm-hmm. and he was a good driver. I was impressed. I had no problems with him. But I don't know. I wouldn't be able to sit in the passenger seat and keep my hands in my lap.
Right.
I think you'd be all right with that. It's just the talking. I'm so such a solitary person now driving by myself. I could not be in a truck with somebody.
Dude, when I'm actually got somebody in a truck training, I'm checking for rattles on the right side. I found that one. I found this one. Found that one.
That's about the well.
Start pushing buttons. Your right side window don't work, Mike.
That's fixed now.
Gotta write it up. I think for me, the thing that would drive me the most nuts is not the talking. I could deal with somebody talking because I can ignore people. I think it's letting somebody else drive. You know, because like every person does not respond to situations the way somebody else will. He's not like even
pushing that phantom brake pedal.
Yeah, I might start braking a lot earlier than somebody else, in a situation where, there's somebody in the left lane coming up, I'm not just going to jump over in the left lane and cut them off. I will let them pass. And I see other drivers all the time just jump right out in the left-hand lane and go.
Yeah.
I'm not that guy. No, that's just how I drive. It's just
because your truck was slow.
Yeah, and especially knowing our trucks, why are you going to jump out in the left lane?
You get out in the left lane, it's like racing Swift. Swift and Prime. Yeah, 3 days later, we're still 60, Welcome you back. Got 5 feet on them now.
Restrict your plate racing.
That's right.
We're all doing the same speed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think that's the thing that would drive me crazy. That's the thing that drove me nuts when I was teaching my kids how to drive, was just trying to get them to understand, don't do that.
I mean, I'm like that when my wife drives or when anybody like I'm in the car. I'm like, I try to keep my mouth shut or it starts a fight, it's so nerve wracking when I'm not the one. Yeah. My wife says that's why I don't like flying. I don't see it. She's like, because I'm not the one driving control. Yeah. I don't think it's that. I guess it's the whole.
I don't like people.
Well, look, if you rush that big front door at the front of the plane, you won't have to fly.
Or you could be the one flying.
The thing I don't like about flying is that I have to sit in a container with 100 other people. No.
That's just container.
Not. What it feels like.
A tube. It's a test tube.
A tin can.
Tube of death.
I was on the boat. We had a, I do my board meeting minutes for the church and blah, blah, blah. So I'm on the board at the church and. For some goofy reason, we're having this conversation about tuna fish. Like they were just like, cause I was sick. So I stayed home, but we did it via, Zoom. And, so one guy at the port goes, they're talking about how they like their tuna. He goes, how do you like your tuna? I said, from a can. that's me. And I don't want to be in a can with 100 other people flying through the air. Hoping that everything stays up and that we're all good,
that's the old saying. It's not the flying that bothers me, it's the crashing.
Sudden stop. It's what kills you.
Brian's kind of hoping the guy on the ground there, we have all the bolts in the door.
There's no pieces falling off, are there? Because, like Randy lost his fifth wheel puller And
oh, I see.
You know, I don't want pieces falling off an airplane, even if it's, you know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah,
that's where I'm at.
I haven't been on a plane since 2012, I think, was the last time I was on an airplane, and I'm not anxious to get back on.
1987.
Oh, wow. You're
was the last time, yeah. It was the last time I flew.
If I can't drive to it, I ain't going.
Yeah, there's no point. You know.
98. I go on. I'm on vacation. And I don't even want to drive to Walmart.
were you flying to see your girlfriend?
No. Took my wife on our honeymoon.
Look at you going. We went to the Poconos and Michelle got pink eye, so we came home.
Oh, what a magical time that was.
That was the start of a 30
You didn't stay at Mount Airy Lodge, did you? There's a lot
beautiful
to say there.
Mount Airy Lodge.
Yeah, it was great.
You want a New York City story?
I do.
All right. Here's a New York. Are we racially? I mean, not. We're okay here.
Well, it depends what words you use to describe racism.
No, I won't be. No, I won't.
We could say skin colors, but it's no, you know it's some of the. That.
This is not me that. Speaking, people. Okay.
Which I'm surprised about.
I'm stupefied.
No, go ahead.
We're they came to me at Hatfield. Yeah. Our first stop on this one round is always 14th Street Meat Market
okay.
in Manhattan. And it's a 5 o'clock delivery.
Mm-hmm.
They said, we're going to start you an hour and a half early. You got 3:30. You got to deliver a customer up on 38th Street. I think it was 38th and 6th Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
He said, it's a hot dog vendor.
Oh.
We're trying to push Sabret out of New York City. We're trying to take over mm-hmm. the hot dog vending. So I was like, oh, okay. So
dirty weeding carts.
I get into Manhattan. I pull up in front of the customer. I go knock on the door.
Uh-huh.
Guy opens the door. He's barely opens the door. He's looking out.
Closed.
And he goes... I said, I'm with Hatfield. I got your hot dogs. Oh, okay. Opens the door and I quick, in the door I go. I get inside. He hands me a cart. I figure, all right, we're going to go out and we're going to unload this. Now he's going to help me.
Okay.
I push the cart out the door. Slam. He never came out. I said, wow. Okay. I'm on my own.
He knows what neighborhood he lives
apparently.
In.
Apparently. So I'm out there and I'm throwing, it's two pallets of hot dogs.
Uh-huh.
You know, and it's on the back of the trailer. You're up and down constantly. Throw, 20 boxes down, get down, put them on the cart, get back up.
Wow.
And I was looking around. I got the first cart filled, and I'm looking around. Oh, well, pulled the door down, locked the door back in, pushed the cart in and said, hey, I need another cart. Oh, okay. So... He takes the cart inside. Next thing I know, another cart comes flying out the door. Slam! Door's closed.
Wow.
There you go, Wiener Man. I'm back in here.
The heck?
So it's getting to be about 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
And I'm still throwing these hot dogs onto the cart. And all of a sudden, at 4 o'clock, the corner bar empties out. And... I mean, they just came from everywhere. They're on top of cars. They're, they're everywhere.
So the natives were getting restless.
Yes.
Thank you.
That's where the racial thing might come in. You start calling them natives.
It turned into a gay bar. There's all kinds
no
of stuff.
No wonder they wanted the Wiener Man.
Yeah.
You went there.
That wasn't racial, though.
We're good. How to win friends and influence people.
So,
wow.
Did they
help you with the hot dogs?
Are you kidding? They were trying to take the hot dogs.
Well, they were hungry.
Now I know why the guy wasn't coming out.
Well, if he'd have come out to begin with, he could have been out.
That's why the bread guy and the hot dog guy never meet. Otherwise, we just need Heinz and we got it all set.
Start a fire, we got hot dogs.
Heinz and Goulens.
So... I went back to Hatfield. I told him, I said, don't ever send me back to the hot dog place again. And that was the end of the hot dogs for Hatfield.
Sabret can have them.
I was just going to say, because Sabret's real popular in New York, yet you didn't pull them out.
No.
So that's how you say that. I could have forgotten. I'm looking
I used to say Sabret.
That's what I'm looking at. Like, is it French or is it just
Sabret?
A friend of mine grew up in New York, and I said, Sab, or what is
Sabre.
I used to say it wrong, and you started laughing at me. I'm like, well, that's how it's spelled.
It's a French hot dog.
Sabre. Sabre. With mustard.
You must wear a bralé when you eat a sabre. On a croissant.
What the hell happened?
He woke up and he goes, why are they all talking French?
Holy shit.
That is the craziest story, dude. It's like 4 o'clock in the morning. What bar closes at 4?
In New York.
Every bar in New York.
Really?
Yes.
I'm used to like the 2 o'clock.
That's what,
that's the early close. Yeah. That's usually the fire hall.
Fire hall.
they made such a big deal about during COVID. All the bars were closing like, you know, 12 o'clock or whatever. And that was unheard of in New York. They were freaking out.
Wow.
I guess they
knew. That literally is a city that never sleeps.
Yeah, I mean, 12 o'clock is when people start coming.
Yeah. Just showing up. Wow. 12 o'clock, I'm still sober by 4.
Holy Moses.
And
how many hot dogs did you lose that day?
I didn't lose any.
Look at you going. You fended off the.
I was there. I was taking
He was care. All over them hot dogs.
He was on the wieners.
He was on the wiener case.
Don't let your wife listen to this show. You know what I'm saying?
Nobody steals wieners on my watch.
And then I was in, we had a customer on 6th Street in Brooklyn.
I don't know. You were there.
Yeah. I'm thinking it through. It's been a long time.
It's been a while.
It's been a minute.
Not young anymore.
It's been a New York minute.
it was the day after a holiday. I think it was the 4th of July, so it was the 5th. I was pulling up in there.
Well, you know Nathan's is done.
At 3:30 in the morning. And I, you know, as you pull up to the customers, cars on both sides of the street, so you're looking for a place to park. And
four ways, air brake. This is it.
Well, not with the cop behind you.
Well, at least you know your load's secure.
Can you watch this, officer?
I'll be right back.
So I got pulled off to the right, and as I was pulling off to the right, I looked in the mirror to make sure, you know, make sure I didn't hit the car that I was pulling off in front of.
Right.
And I happened to notice this guy laying on the ground. With his arm out like this, he was just laying there.
Handling.
And Ed's like, no. Did I run him over?
That was my first thought. Did I just run that guy over?
Right.
And I mean, I was literally that far away from running over his hand.
You should do the competitions.
No.
The truck driver. Just have Dean Yockey lay there with his hand out.
If you can miss it. It makes it more interesting for us pedal high drivers.
Yeah, I'd go to those championships then. Well, all the safety guys lay around the truck.
Everybody would volunteer to drive.
All the safety guys lay around the tractors, and we're all going to try to back in.
Dean's taking the place of the cone.
Let's see if those safety meetings paid off.
Dean's like, I think I'm going to move my retirement up.
But no, I thought I ran over the guy.
Yeah.
And I got out of the truck, and that's when I found out the cop was behind me.
Uh-huh.
And I walked to the cop, and I was like, you see this guy? Did I hit him? The cop's like, get out of the way. I'm like, okay, I guess I didn't hit him. You know,
good enough.
I pulled in and finished parking.
Wow.
The guy laid there the whole time we were unloading.
You're blocking us. The donut shop's at the end of the block.
It's the important things, you know. Wow.
That blew my mind that night.
I was like, don't worry about it. The sanitation crew will be here later. We'll pick them up.
The future looks really bright, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's worse in New York now than it probably was back when you were there now. Now it's like, in some areas, the drug use isn't even, they aren't even like.
It's coming back. Giuliani cleaned it up.
Yeah, right? But now it's going
and
the other
way. And it's coming back the other way.
Past two mayors are just letting that whole city rot away.
Yeah, like Carly Simon sang, coming back around again.
It's another Jinsaki old reference.
Here you go.
Circle back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Double P.
Awesome. Yes, you got that. I remember Patty. Oh, that's Baron Judy.
Yeah, there's that.
You know, all those references, I have to go home with my wife, and she's like, what does that mean? I tell her what that means.
Gotta give her the list.
I pull out the glossary of terms.
Glossary? There you go. We should print one out every year. Follow along at home. This book will help you for $9.95.
You gotta make money somewhere.
The old bingo card that was up on somebody put up on Facebook.
Yeah,
yeah, we had to take off that space with the Toyota. We don't talk about that anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, whatever. What are you gonna do? So now, then you moved from Hatfield to Pitt, Ohio. How have you enjoyed your time at Pitt, Ohio?
He's still here, isn't he?
He is still here, but he was at Hatfield for 12. So he left and came back and then left again. So you know, he might not. Maybe he's not as happy at Pitt, Ohio.
Well, he has his wife and his kid working here, so you know, something might be good.
I don't do grocery warehouses here.
Amen, brother. Boy, I did that when I first started driving. Not at Pitt, when I was driving for somebody else, Johnson Motor Lines. I did that, and it's you know, like
I did
you said,
it for, you, I did
you're
it for
unloading
Pitt.
Everything.
It's they like, used to have that Wakefern, the ShopRite.
Yep.
We used to have to go in there, and they use me when I first started. I was in a little NC truck. No, I was down at Cranberry. Yeah, that Wakefern had a big thing down at Cranberry, and I had the little NC
Elizabeth truck. Cranberry. And
so Fogelsville. Screw me. He's got the little truck. We can't really use that. So I would go in there. I literally sat there for 8 hours once, and they didn't take me.
You know what the coolest job was doing that when I was a daytime guy? Was going to Squibb because you just sat there
down in Cranberry
all day long. They just bring a skid over and you looked at it, it trapped. I don't know. And you just sat there all day.
I used to run around after all the trailer guys down in Cranberry picking up what
they couldn't.
I, you know, because I was in that little NC truck, you could fit six skids in. That's about all I could get in there. And I used to just follow the trailer guys around the paper place, those big rolls of paper.
Yeah.
I'd get one of those because I couldn't fit it on the trailer. I'd go over to Squibb, pick up some of that.
Yep.
And there was another medical place down there. Well, it can't fit like a wheelchair or Pride, I think.
Pride. And then they had Granger.
Granger, yep. Well, they sent me over to Granger too when the guy would call off that used to load the three trailers.
Right.
Well, I was just in an NC truck. Okay, he don't matter. Send him over. So I was now the Granger guy loading the three trailers standing there.
Cooper Lighting in Secaucus.
Yeah.
I used to go in there almost, you know, when I was going over that way.
And I got really good at all that. Mammoth County and, was that Middlesex County?
Middlesex.
And then East Windsor opens up and now I get to go to Newark, Bayonne, Bergen. Jersey City. When is that line haul position opening up?
I ran all, I had all the books. I had all the Jersey books, all the Maelstrom Jersey books.
I just threw mine out about a year or two ago. We were cleaning out the basement.
I had red lines driven. Yeah, like, yes, no.
I had all the low bridges marked off on the paper. Yeah.
I still have all mine in a briefcase.
Now, I kept them, and I was like, well, just in case I go back to city. Yeah, but now I realize even if I would, it's a GPS.
Yeah.
Nobody uses paper maps anymore.
No, I don't use a GPS.
That's like cheating.
I've gotten so used to that now.
Like, I don't know. It's weird. When Tony started telling me about the GPS thing and you can go on your Google Maps and to put the way it looks, you know,
Street view.
Yeah.
And what are you talking about?
It's helpful though.
I'm sure it is. But I'm like, that's like cheating. I mean, it's like, it's not. I mean,
it's not that helpful when the turnpike going west is closed. Where do I go?
Exactly. It's not that helpful.
It reroutes you. In a truck, it's hard. I'll give you that. It's a little difficult in a truck. But in a car, I don't know where nothing is anymore.
When they close the turnpike from Somerset to freaking Newstand, and I'm going out to Pittsburgh, I'm like, well, where are we going? Just jump off and go 31. Yeah. And you find out the 30 runs all the way over. And you're like, well, that's going to suck. You know? So, and it did.
When
you
make a right. Make a right.
When you get down 309, and, you know, right there at 663.
Yeah.
The TGI Fridays is there, and that little ramp that goes into the shopping center is right there. I've seen guys, you know, the GPS says for 663, turn right now. Into the shopping center they go.
Wow. Like,
well, that guy's going to be there for a couple of hours.
Yeah, he's got to back that out of there. Is it lunch? Where are you parking? Don't go through the drive-thru. McDonald's right in the corner.
No, it's closed now. They're redoing that
one. Oh, no, it's open again.
Oh, it's open?
The McDonald's.
Yeah,
I have not been down there for it's been a while.
You should try a little.
I'm good. I'm really good. I'm all right with it. There used to be a Wendy's on the corner across from McDonald's. I know that moved. Closed. Yeah, they moved that thing. Yeah. I don't know what's on the corner.
They built a new one there now.
I haven't been down
there. There's nothing there in a while.
The old Wendy's is there.
The old Wendy's is still there,
just empty.
They're supposed to put a car wash there.
Oh,
imagine that. Another car wash. That's convenient.
Yeah, there are like three of them already.
It sounds like a movie from the 70s, doesn't it?
They just built one down
at the working bottom. At the car wash.
There you go.
Right there, coming on 309, get on 63. That's where
I believe that's the only other movie that I know that Mark Hamill
that's
was
in. I realized car wash. How much oil comes out of a smokestack. When I sprayed on the trailer. I sprayed the ground when the turbo blew.
Oh,
like, yeah. All the oil came out of that thing.
Yeah. Usually where the oil goes, out the stack.
Yeah. So we'll end this show on this note. How your wife works there. Your son works at Pitt. You work at Pitt. You seem to be a happy family working at Pitt. Is everybody's good? I mean, nice people.
Yeah, everybody's good.
Wife is among the one of the sweetest people I've ever met in my life.
Yeah, she's very nice.
She's never upset. Nothing against anybody else who works in the office, but in the past years, there are some grumpy people working in the office.
She gets your upset, wife is,
but she always has a smile on her face, says hi to everybody.
Yeah. And she's married to Ed. How'd that happen?
I'm still asking myself that question.
If you get a good one, you're always asking yourself, what the hell happened? What was that? Yeah. I say that about my wife all the time.
I've had more than one guy there tell me I outkicked my coverage.
That's funny. I never heard it put that way. That's hilarious. Yes. Yes, sirree. Well, Ed, this has been a fun conversation. I do hope you enjoyed yourself.
I did.
Because we had a blast. And not at your expense. We had a blast with you. It was a lot of fun. It was fun talking with you, kind of getting your story and seeing where you're at and seeing how, because you've been in the business for your whole adult life. You know, I think that's fascinating when somebody comes along, because there's not that many of them anymore. You know, I don't think there's many drivers out there who have been doing this their whole life. Like you.
There seems to be a lot of people in their 40s. They already had a career.
Yeah.
And they're saying, I'm going to do something different. So they
come into
trucking.
Or they got laid off and they wound up, okay, I need to do something. That was my story. I mean, I was
like, there's not many of us morons that came right out of the chute and said, we're going to drive a truck.
We're going to drive a truck.
Well,
you know,
for me, it was just what you do.
Yeah. It's what your dad did. And it's what you were raised. My dad didn't. My dad was a factory worker,
It was, I can stay inside four walls.
Exactly. That's where I'm at,
My dad's dad was an electrician.
Yeah.
Shocking. He was 17 years old when he first drove truck.
Wow.
Wow. My grandfather was a trucker, but I tried everything else before I got into trucking, all the warehousing, all the crap that I did. And it's like, this is the only place you can make decent money without, having a college education and everything. So,
in fact, I make
it's a good job where you can support wives and kids.
Yeah. 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 You're never there to see them. So,
right.
it's awesome. Yeah. This is why, it's why I didn't want my kids driving. When Tony first started, he's like, what do you think? I'm like, you're not going to have a life.
No, he tried. At least he tried it. He did.
He did try it. And that's what pushed him into doing the podcasting. And it's like, it's worked out well for him, So, and then Jack will never drive a truck, which is good.
Well, Nathaniel's driving the straight trucks around work.
Yeah. Yeah. And, but you said he's really not interested in being a driver.
No. No.
Did we ever talk about what your other son does?
He's a landscaper.
Okay, we didn't talk about what he did.
Yeah.
And what's his name?
Chris.
How long has he been landscaping?
Younger or older? Or,
yeah, exactly.
He's the older. He's 25.
Okay. Is he his own business or is he working?
No. Wait. He's 25. And what's Nate?
10. 20.
Oh, he's 20. He'll be 21 the end of the month.
He can't even drink yet.
No.
Well, he can't. It's just the whole legal thing.
Go figure.
Well, let's put it this way. If he does drink, he's going to get smacked around by his mother.
He still is at home.
Not for that, but if I think if the kid has one sip, I think the kid's gone. But.
Well, he is a small guy. He's shorter than you, isn't he?
No, he's taller than I am.
Really?
Yeah, he's got me by 2 inches.
Nate or Chris?
Nate.
Really?
My oldest has me by he's 5'9".
Wow.
He's got me by 4 inches, 5 inches.
Get the heck. But he enjoys doing landscaping.
Yeah.
So both of you, basically both of your kids don't
really. So what I was trying to say is he's got his grass cut all year.
Yeah.
No. What I'm telling you is he mows grass for the landscaper. He don't touch the grass at home.
Exactly. Yeah, we understand that. Do you like driving truck for somebody on your weekends? No.
No.
Yeah, well,
I do for my daughter. If she says, Dad, we're moving, can you help us? Well, like, you I just have said, no. to. I love my daughter. She's fantastic. So, and she's got my grandbaby.
Well, she can't move. I have issues if she goes.
We both do. We're lost.
Just saying.
So, Ed, we just want to say thank you for coming in. This really was a blast. We had a great time. It was a lot of fun. It really was. I appreciate it.
See that? You didn't have to sweat what you were going to talk about for an hour.
Yeah.
It
was good. Goes. If you ever want to come back on, you're welcome to come back on. If you think of stories or anything else, or you just want to come in and shoot the breeze, we'll bring some, you know, have a break room type of show with a couple of different guys, you know, besides the three knuckleheads sitting here with you.
Right.
And, you know.
Here at Sesame Street, today's podcast is brought to you by the letter R and the number 4.
Because that's as high as we can count.
And somebody use an R word they aren't supposed to. It's going to have to get cut out.
Yeah, somewhere along the line. But
I was on my best behaviors.
Yeah,
you're all quiet. Three of them.
Yeah.
Jason's going to call up. Yeah, I have some questions about this punk.
Right, exactly.
We're going to have to cut some.
Hey, Jason, can you cut this?
Somebody's going to have to watch a tolerance video from HR. These are the words we don't use anymore.
I am HR.
Boy, wait till January, it'll open up again.
Yeah, know. Well, all that being said, I hope we enjoyed ourselves. We hope everybody out there enjoyed themselves as well. And if they enjoyed themselves, gentlemen, what can they do?
Share the show.
Share the show. Fantastic.
Go straight to hell? I don't know.
Well, if they're on your bus, yep, yeah. Probably.
It's not a bad ride.
Where can they get share the show? Where should they share the show? Where can they share the
Facebook,
show?
Instagram, Facebook,
Instagram,
X,
all the social media platforms.
Ooh. Look at him go.
He summed it all up in a short sentence.
In one little word. Well, a couple. But yes, share the show. Share it wherever you can. All that being said, keep the hammer down.
Into Hammer Lane.
Good night.
Unless you work for Good Ohio.
Yeah, then don't keep the hammer down. Nowhere. Low down.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.